Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 it's Lean Keys, Real Talk, episode 112. Lee, how are you doing tonight, bro?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. Something I ate today ain't agreeing with me, but I'm making it, man. I'm glad to be living. How about yourself?
I'm chilling, bro. I'm chilling. I'm doing my thing. I just,
yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Every day is great. That's just how I'm looking at it.
That's the only way to look at it.
Yeah, I get a lot of that wisdom from you.
Hey, man.
With you.
That's right, baby. Oh, man. Hey, got a lot to talk about, buddy. Got a lot to talk about tonight.
Yeah, so yeah, so we actually had a really good we had a really good debate earlier today. I just want to bring this up for a quick minute. We'll see if you're up for it. I was actually at work earlier today. I don't even know if this was something that Lee was going to bring up tonight. I don't even think he would have wanted to talk about it, but we had a pretty good debate earlier. We got first of all, shout out to the Scrap News. We always shout them out on our show. That's our people right there. And so we have a Slack chat, you know, with all the staff. And we had a really good debate in one of our chats with some of the other staff there. And what they was talking about was Conor McGregor. He had, you know, y'all know Conor McGregor is one of my favorites. I don't go off about him on this show because me and Lee will get into a debate or something if I go in too much about McGregor, so I try to hold back. But we got into a debate. One of the guys said, I usually come up with things. I just have to, just as a fan, I just got to say certain things. And I was like, you know, Conor say the king is back, you know, after he beat Nate Diaz the second fight. You know, he yelled out in the mic, the king is back. And I had put that in the chat, and it kind of got, you know, got some responses from there that triggered some people. So they were saying that, you know, yeah, you know, quote unquote, the king who hasn't won a fight since 2016. And that really got me going right there. I couldn't restrain myself. That just always gets me going when people talk about that, because it just kills me. Like, I mean, if you really, like, you know, McGregor's inactiveness, I'm not condoning the inactiveness because my favorite fighters, a lot of my favorite fighters are guys who are very active, you know. Max Holloway is one of my favorite fighters, and I'm pretty sure he's fought 3 or maybe even 4 times in the past year. So, you know, Cowboy, one of my favorite guys to watch, he's fought probably also probably 4 times at this point, maybe even 5 times in the past year. Maybe it's a little over a year, but them two guys alone got probably 9 fights, 8 or 9 fights easily in the past year, you know, combined. So, you know, Justin Gaethje, another one of my favorite fighters, he fights frequently. So just, you know, the point of it is that I'm not condoning the inactiveness and saying that that's what guys should do, or, you know, I'm not saying that from not fighting you could be the best. I mean, I also criticize Dominic Cruz for his inactiveness. I mean, he hasn't fought in, I think, 3 years now, also almost 3 years at this point since his last fight. And he's another guy who I'm pretty sure he's still in the top 5 in the rankings in his division. And I'm not saying that makes it cool. Like, I also don't condone his inactiveness and you know, his high ranking while being so inactive. And I'm sure he thinks he's still the best, but that you guys are right. You can't be the best without being out there and proving it. So I get it. I wasn't saying, you know, where McGregor hasn't fought, like, me saying the king is back is kind of just like me being a fan. It's not really saying that he's the best, but, I understand you have to be out there beating the best guys to be the best guy. You can't just sit on the sidelines and talk trash and say you're the best guy. So I totally get that part. It was just the part of it where people, that kills me, is when people say that Conor McGregor is 0-2 in his last two fights. That just irritates me so much. Or saying he hasn't won a fight since 2016. Like, hasn't fought since 2016. You know, you can't say he's the, you know, why is he top five? Can't say, you know, he hasn't fought in the division since 2016. That argument I understand. But saying he hasn't won a fight since 2016 or he's 0-2 in his last two fights, I just can't rock with that. Because the people who are saying that are not considering who his opponents were. He's fighting the best guys. Y'all favorite fighters are fighting bums. And not only bums, but guys who are nowhere near the level of guys that he's fighting. See, I feel like this is the same thing as LeBron James in the NBA. Everybody criticizes LeBron James, but he's playing at the highest level almost every season. LeBron James is playing in the conference finals, if not the NBA finals, almost every season. If you go all his seasons, I'm pretty sure it's a good 75% of his career, LeBron James has played with unbelievable statistics all the way to the NBA finals. Then when he loses in game 7 or something like this, everybody shits on LeBron. Everybody talks down on LeBron and tears him apart because he lost in the finals. This is the same thing as McGregor. McGregor fighting the best guys, he loses to the best guys, and people rag on him for it. LeBron plays the best guys in the world because everybody knows the best basketball players in the world are in the NBA. Because we see that in the Olympics. You know, y'all know I don't know much about sports, but I know where the best basketball players are. It's on Team USA. We all know that's a fact. So LeBron's playing with the best guys in the world, and he always goes to the, you know, most of the time goes to the finals, and he loses. Sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. But he's getting criticized by guys who aren't even getting that far. This is what I'm just trying to say, is that with McGregor, it's the same argument, because most of the, you know, if you take your favorite fighter, this is what I said today, and I don't know if people understood. They were saying that they didn't understand. Put your favorite fighters against Khabib Nurmagomedov and Floyd Mayweather in their next two fights. Now, what do you think their record would be in the next two fights if they fought those two guys? That was the question I asked in the chat today, and I don't think anybody come out and said they thought their favorite fighter would have even had a win versus either one of those two guys. So that's the point that I was just trying to say, is not condoning the fact that he's been inactive. I'm not saying that he's the best while he's been inactive. He did lose his last two fights, but we have to look at who he fought, because a lot of guys' favorite fighters aren't fighting the best guys. Your favorite fighter is knocking out the number 10 guy. Who's the number 10 guy? You know what I mean? Like, that's nobody. You know, like, it's not the same playing field. Like,
But the thing, though, Keith, I think you're missing a point, that you're missing the point on something. It's like the Dallas Cowboys. Most people don't hate the Dallas Cowboys. They hate the Dallas Cowboys fans. They fans make people sick. So if you hate the fans, then guess what? You automatically gonna dislike the team. So I think a lot of people don't really hate Conor McGregor. They can't stand Conor McGregor fans. It's like, in Conor McGregor fans' eyes, he can do no wrong. And that drives people that aren't Conor McGregor fans crazy. People, i.e. myself, I understand it. I would never say he's 0-2 in his last fight because there was no way he was ever going to beat Floyd Mayweather, even though he won a couple rounds. I never thought he had a chance of winning that fight. I never thought he had a chance of beating Khabib. I think if he was to fight Tony Ferguson, he wouldn't beat him. I think if he was to fight Justin Gaethje, and Gaethje was to somehow rediscover his wrestling game, he would lose to Gaethje. He might even lose to Gaethje in a stand-up war. But I think stylistically, as far as his fans are concerned, him fighting Gaethje is a fight that he could win because stylistically, it's a good matchup. I think a lot of people watch. I kind of have the Floyd Mayweather effect in the U.S. What I mean by that is half the people want to see him win, the other half want to see him lose. So that's what I call the Mayweather effect. Me personally, I'm not a fan of the guy. I think the UFC that gave him too many passes. I'm definitely pissed about they didn't fine him for what he did to the bus incident, where he could have basically ruined the whole pay-per-view single-handedly. I was mad that they promoted his proper 12, where they wouldn't do that for other fighters. I just think there's a lot of stuff that he gets away with that other fighters don't. I don't like preferential treatment, and he tends to get that. But at the same time, like I've been telling you for a while now, I feel that Conor is happy with being a celebrity and not being a fighter. And that's why I stand that way.
So, pretty much, the thing is that the Gaethje thing, that was something that is huge here. You know, out of everything, you know, you said, I can't debate certain things. Everybody, like, I respect your opinion, and I'm not – see, yo, when I was in college, like, I want to backtrack a little bit. When I was in college, like, all right, like, we didn't know – I didn't know you, and you didn't know me, right? This was in, like, early college, like, my freshman year, sophomore year, like, probably 2015. This was between, like, 2015 – probably like 2016. I remember I was in that year of college. I think it was my sophomore year of college, and I was sitting in the library, and yo, they got so many montages. They got like montages and clips. You know how you got like all those player highlights, and a lot of people put the music behind it. So it's like that, but they have Conor McGregor montage videos on YouTube, but they're like movies. But it was so inspirational. There was I used to sit in the library my sophomore year of college, because I forget what it was, but I just like was in like this. I was in like this state, and I was just like stuck. Like I just had no motivation to like get work done, and I would go sit in the library trying to like wait till I like got something done, and I wouldn't like go hang out with my friends or nothing. I would sit there, and I remember I watched there was the beginning of that those semesters that year in college. I would just sit there and watch the videos. These are Conor McGregor like videos, but they're like motivational videos with fight clips. You know, they're like montages of fight clips. So like some of them got music. A lot of like people talking in the background, a lot of like inspirational quotes. There's a good amount of those videos on YouTube. I would just sit there and watch those videos until I got something done. Like I would just sit there and watch until I was like, you know what? I got to do something. Like I'm getting like, it's almost like in a writer's block state, but I just couldn't, but for everything, like there was no productivity. Like those couple semesters, I just couldn't get myself going to do anything. You know, I had a heavy workload. I probably had difficult courses that I was taking. You know, I can't remember off top, but that shit, like, in a lot of the stuff, you know, the point of what I'm saying is that those videos had old Conor McGregor clips. These are clips like 2016 and prior. You know, these are mostly 26. You know, this is before. You know, when he won to become a double champion, this most of this stuff was leading up to that. And a lot of his moments, you know, that's the McGregor that I really admire. So I think that person is stuck, you know, with me a lot. A lot of it is that McGregor is who I think of him as. The celebrity McGregor is not the person that I, you know, is not necessarily the person that I look up to and is such a big fan of. It's the old McGregor who inspired me to get through a lot of shit in life, the one that I watched so many of his game tapes, and that got me, you know, and things like that, because it did for a while. That's why I gave you that story right there, because it really did. It got me through a lot of college, was watching his game tapes and a lot of the stuff that he used to say was a lot different, you know, not now where it's like, you know, he's just tweeting at every guy who gets a knockout win on Twitter and calling them out. Like, it ain't that. Like, he wasn't like that before. Before, you know, he had a mindset that was so inspirational. And that really, like, I listen to that stuff, and it really, it inspires me in a big way. And that's the McGregor that I think of him as, and, you know, so that's just the crazy part about it. I don't, you know, I remember at the time when he was going to make the, I know this is past stuff, and this is, you know, then is not now. You know, the past is not now, but I remember when he was going to, I never wanted him to fight Mayweather. I never even really wanted him to fight Khabib. There was other fights that I wanted him to, because for me, like, I never really cared really about him winning titles. Like, I just wanted to see him fight, kind of stay
You remember when I posed this question to you? I was like, after the Mayweather fight, I said, you know, Conor right now, you know, he'd have made $100 million off this fight. I said, to me, his career for now should be all about super fights. I said he should come back maybe twice a year and just do a super fight. And you was like, nah, Lee, nah, man, McGregor got to come back, you know, and reclaim the throne, la, 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 la. Now, I'm going to ask you this question again. Keys, at this point in time in Conor McGregor's career, do you think he should come back twice a year and do super fights?
Yeah. You were right. I think he should. And it's not just necessarily because that he can't, you know, can't beat Khabib and all this. Like, it's not even necessarily because of who the competition is. It's just that I just feel like, this is the thing. If Justin Gaethje was the champion, I would want to see Conor fight for the belt just because I want to see him fight Gaethje. I don't care to see him fight Khabib. That's really the thing. It's not really so much that I just think there's no way he can beat him. I mean, I do think there's much more likely that Khabib beats Conor again than Conor beats him. I do believe that because Khabib's just on a different level right now, and his pressure, I think, is just too much for anybody. I mean, besides Tony Ferguson, I really don't know who would even beat Khabib. I'm not even confident that GSP would beat Khabib, to be 100% honest with you. I wouldn't even tell anybody to bet on GSP, especially where he's, you know, he's way past, GSP is like 38, 39 years old or something like that. I don't even know if I would, you know, take him versus Khabib, but a lot of people are talking about that, but I really don't think so. But that's another story. But, you know, it's I just want to see certain fights at this point in his career. I really don't care about him chasing belts. I think he already did enough. You know, once he was a double champion, that's all he really needed to do. You know, he don't need to keep coming back and winning the belts back. It's fine. I'd rather see him rematch Aldo. I really want to see him rematch Aldo. Like, I feel like that's a fun fight, and it doesn't matter. Like, I don't really think at this point he needs to try to evolve his game. I mean, if he wants to, he can, but I don't – you think I want to see Conor go in there and fight, like, a Gregor Gillespie? Like, come on, son.
No.
That ain't the fight, bro. And honestly, I don't think any of y'all want to see him fight Gregor Gillespie because that's just not an interesting fight. You know, I really don't think – like, Gillespie can go, you know, fight Damian Maia or somebody like that. Like, that's that fight. Like, let them guys do it because they're doing kind of a similar style. You know, Ben Askren's going to go fight Damian actually, Ben Askren is going to fight Damian Maia because don't nobody want to see Ben Askren – fight, you know, these other dudes. Like, Ben Askren, you want to see him fight Leon Edwards. Why? Leon Edwards wants to stand and bang. Oh, why you want to see Darren Till fight Ben Askren? He wants to stand and bang. Let the guys who want to stand and bang fight each other. You know what I'm saying? Let the guys who want to wrestle each other. I know people want to see everybody evolve. Okay, but there's certain guys that do and certain guys that don't. I don't think that, you know, Justin Gaethje is going to come out and start wrestling anytime soon. Like, I'm sure he does have a good wrestling background. They said he was like NCAA champion or something. I thought they said he was like NCAA, like All-American wrestler or something like that. I don't know. Maybe he's got good wrestling. I have no idea. hopefully maybe he can show that off, you know, because people have been talking about it and I know they want to see it. But me, I like when Gaethje just goes in there and just throws his hands. I feel like he's gotten so much better with his striking. You know, before it was like he would just take shots unnecessarily. Like, he kind of just go in there and take too many shots. Like, we saw how he was his first couple of fights when he came in the UFC. But I feel like now he's gotten to a point where he's a lot more – he's defensive and offensive. He's really got some good boxing now. And he doesn't take, you know, the unnecessary shots and the unnecessary damage that he really doesn't need, you know, in his career right now. And he's really improved. I just want to see those kind of guys fight each other. So that's really the thing. I want to see McGregor fight the guys who would be an exciting fight that I want to see. Like I said, I want to see McGregor rematch Aldo. Not just because that he knocked him out, you know, and didn't give him a rematch. I think he should have given him a rematch, like, immediately at that time. But, you know, he wanted to jump to another division and win another belt. Okay, but I still want to see Aldo rematch just because it's a fun fight. And I feel like for Aldo, this is a good time. You know, Aldo kind of had a resurgence with his skill level lately. He beat a lot of young guys, but then he lost to Volkanovski, right? But I feel like if Volkanovski were to fight Aldo and not just, like, clinch him up to the cage the whole fight, I think Aldo would have beat him. That's the difference. Like, and I don't want to see guys just clinch guys against the cage the whole time. Like, that's not a style that I want to see. I understand it's strategy, and a win is a win, but I don't give a damn about that strategy. Like, that, and the crowd don't give a damn about that strategy. I'm going to tell you, if you go to the UFC event and you're in the thing and they're clinching the guy out of the cage for the entire round, wait to see how many boos you hear. The fans don't want to see that. So some hardcore fans might be saying about the strategy and this and that. Don't nobody give a damn about the strategy, bro. No one wants to see a guy clinch a guy for the entire round. I'm telling you. Not even, you know, boxing, they don't want to see you clinch a guy. You know, I don't even know what the rules are for clinching in boxing, but you might better know that than me. But I know in MMA, I don't want to see no damn clinching the entire round. It's one thing to do it if you're trying to advance to something, but when you're just doing it to just hold a guy and stall time in the round, like, I feel like Volkanovski was doing that for Aldo. He was just trying to kill time and tire him out. But what was really the goal? I understand, like, but there's no advancement of that. Like, he didn't do anything with it. It was just, like, stupid to watch. But I don't know.
I think Volkanovski's game plan was he wanted to negate Aldo's leg kicks. I think he didn't want to suffer a lot of damage due to leg kicks. And one way to negate that is to do what Paul Felder did on Barboza. You have to smother them, make them fight out of the clinch, make them fight off the cage, you know, close the distance so that their leg kicks become basically non-existent. And that's one less weapon they have. Now, when you said that, you know, that let's say the Khabib versus Conor fight. We both knew going into that fight that Khabib was going to take Conor down. Everybody in the world knew that. And my thing was, can Conor get back to his feet? And I knew he couldn't, because I guarantee you he don't work on the grappling part of his game. And me and you have talked so many times before that when your plan A doesn't work, what are y'all working on as far as a plan B, a plan C, and maybe a plan D? A lot of guys in the UFC right now come into a fight and they have no plan B. Case in point, Dustin Poirier against Khabib. No plan B. You could look at Cowboy versus Gaethje. Cowboy, when Gaethje hit him the first time, he kind of stumbled. He felt his power. Instead of him trying to go for a takedown or get in a clinch or throw a leg kick, What he tried to do? Stand there bang. What happened? Got knocked the fuck out. So, I understand that when we, as a fan, when we're watching it, that, you know, man-humping is boring, but man-humping sometimes is necessary to get a win, depending on the guy that you're fighting. But I don't blame the guy that's actually taking his strength away from another fighter. The fighter that's getting his strength taken away, he has to adapt his game. And that's the beauty of MMA. MMA, you have so many tools in your toolbox you can use to win a fight that it doesn't make any sense why a guy, if he can't stand and bang with a guy, then he's still not competitive. That just rubs me the wrong way because the amount of money they spend for their training, the amount of money they spend for their nutrition, you know, the amount of time that they're in the gym, you know, the way they're taxing their body with weight cuts, eating the right thing. Why wouldn't you apply all that to your training too? Whereas, okay, I'm a striker. I know I can punch and knock somebody out. Rumble Johnson, case in point. Rumble Johnson. We know Rumble Johnson would knock people out, knock their shoulders, knock their head off their shoulders in a fight. But we also know that when Rumble Johnson gets taken down, that he's like a turtle on his back. And we done seen enough of his fights. They can't get up. So, Rumble, stop working on your striking game. We don't need you to work on that. We need you to work on scrambling, getting back to your feet, defending takedowns, you know, stuff like that. And I think nowadays in the UFC, there's so many guys that can grapple, that can establish leg kicks, that can do so many things, that I think the days of the one-trick pony, I think those days are over, Keith. I really think those days are over, bro.
Well, I mean, it's just like, it's just, you know, like, for example, if you look at the days might be over, but if you just look at the DC Stipe 2 fight, so what happened with DC? So DC, his game plan, they said afterwards that his game plan with his team was to wrestle. So he wanted to take Stipe down and keep him on the mat. And what he do? He, I guess, abandoned his game plan and he started to strike with Stipe. So
bad move.
Right. So right there, it was like, you know, Stipe is a striker, but he can also wrestle. We saw
he
that
sure
with
can.
Ngannou. He was able to hold Ngannou, and people don't even give him credit for that. Ngannou's huge. Like, he is a huge mass of a man. Like, and I'm not even, like, trying to sound weird saying it. Like, he's a big dude, and he's very strong.
He is big.
Like, it's not – yeah, and he's very strong. It's not just about, you know, just because Ngannou took a picture with Shaquille O'Neal and he looks small next to Shaquille O'Neal, don't get it twisted, people. That doesn't mean that Ngannou's small. Shaq
I mean,
is a big dude,
me.
Too. Yeah, Shaq is – exactly, yeah. People think that because Ngannou – oh, he looks small next to Shaq. Bro, wait till you see Ngannou in real life. Wait till you stand next to Ngannou. He will snap you like a twig. Shaq's just – yo, even Shaq knows how strong Ngannou is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to get into that. But the thing is just that Ngannou to be able to dominate him on the mat, even though Ngannou doesn't have the technique, because you do need the some kind of ground game to defend a lot of the motions and to, you know, move out of guard and things like this. You know, Ngannou clearly didn't have the – he never, you know, trained that. I mean, he didn't have a good trainer or he never just drilled it enough, like, because they're probably mostly focusing on his striking, I mean, at least before. I mean, even now, I think they mostly focus on Ngannou's striking. I haven't seen him try to take anybody down, but
didn't he admit that he didn't work on his wrestling game or after the fight or something? I think he admitted that though, that he really didn't work on his ground game or something.
Yeah. I think he did come out and say that they didn't train that. Which is pretty crazy because, I mean, I guess if you look at, like, Stipe's fights before that, like, if you really didn't, like, know that Stipe had wrestling, I don't know, because I guess the preparations are just different. Like, when you have John Jones's team and those guys are, like, really going back, like, those guys, like, do the research, like, on every fighter and, like, they'll know, like, every little move that you make and, like, analyze your fights from, like, 1998 and, like, find that one hole in your game to, like, land a head kick at the precise angle, like, to knock you out in the third round. Like, that team really goes in and does that homework on a fighter. But, like, Ngannou, I don't know what his team, like, what is like. Like, I have no idea, but, you know, maybe they just didn't know that, like, Stipe had that, like, level of wrestling to where he was going to, like, dominate Ngannou if he took him down. But, I mean, at the same time, they might have thought they didn't need to train it because – they probably banked on Ngannou knocking him out in the first round like he does to most other guys. But then when it didn't happen, they probably, like, panicked going into the second round and just had no response for it. So maybe that happened.
But when me and you picked that fight, I remember it like it was yesterday. I said Stipe is not going to stand and bang with Ngannou because if he does, he's going to get put to sleep. I said, Stipe is going to take him down. And every time he going to make Ngannou carry his weight the whole fight, and Ngannou is going to tire out, and Stipe is going to dominate him in the short punch exchanges, and then he's going to dominate him in the clinch game. And the fight panned out just like we had talked about. Because I had no faith in Ngannou's grappling game. Because we never saw him basically get taken down and get up, get taken down and get to his feet. So, I mean, it was, and Stipe did a masterful job in feinting punches and then changing levels and taking them down and then not allowing him to get to his feet. But, man, you know, man, a lot of people say styles make fights, but I think sometimes fighters and their style and whether or not they can be they can change their style in the fight can help make a fight be better. I know the last show we had, I talked about coaching, and Stipe's coaches, they did an outstanding job on what they was coaching him up in the corner, and it led to him beating DC. I want to say that they announced that the DC and Stipe trilogy fight will be happening. I want to say Dana reported, he dropped that to somebody today, but don't quote me on that. But, I love MMA, man. I really do. I love UFC. But I want to see guys get better. I don't want to feel like every time I watch you, I'm watching the same fight with a different opponent. You know what I mean? It's just, I want to see guys grow their game and become more versatile, you know, be better than they were in the last fight. And I know that's a lot to ask, but as a fan, we just want to, especially if you're a fan of a certain fighter, you want to grow with that guy. You want to see that guy, you know, evolve as a fighter. You know, like me and you were talking about Tyron Woodley on the last show. I said, T. Wood, to me, he was more exciting when he was chasing the belt. Once he got the belt, he wasn't the same guy to me. And, you know, sometimes I think guys, you know, once they get the belt, they feel like, well, let me change my game plan up. Now I got to do this, this, and this to remain a champion. Well, I feel that if you do everything you did in your grind to be the champ, that should be good enough to keep you as the champ.
Yeah, no, you make a good point with that. I mean, as much as it's not like I haven't agreed with this or admitted this before. I mean, Woodley definitely fought different once he got the belt, and it seems like I think a lot of guys get complacent once they have the belt. I think it might be like, I mean, I don't know what goes through the fighter's mind, so really who am I to even say, but, you know, one thing that I think might be is that, like, the complacency, once they get there, you know, they've been working their whole career. Like, a lot of these guys, like, you know, have over 30 fights, 40 fights, 25, you know, 20, whatever. Like, you know, long career, like, you know, maybe not even including amateur fights and, you know, struggles they went through, weight cut and, you know, other issues they might have had, you know, along the lines of career, kind of had a rocky path to get to where they were going. I mean, look at Bisping. Bisping, you know, had a really long career. He fought a lot of wars. You know, he had an absolute classic fight with Anderson Silva. That's one of my favorite fights of all time. That's an underrated fight. I mean, but anyways, yeah. But like, look at guys like that. Like they fought, and then it's like once they finally get to the belt, especially like guy like Bisping, where he won the belt really late in his career. You know, I feel like they get kind of complacent. It's like, you know, I worked my whole career to be a world champion, and now I'm a world champion, and it's like, this is all I wanted. Like, I don't really want to do much more. I mean, Bisping had, like, one fight with Dan Henderson once he won the belt because he wanted to get that win back, you know, from that how he got viciously knocked out in that first fight. I think he just wanted to get that win back, and that was really all he wanted to do after that. I mean, I don't know if, like, if he really wanted to defend the belt versus all these guys. I think he just wanted to be a world champion. And same with Tyron Woodley. I don't really know if Woodley was really – I mean, Woodley did defend his belt four times, technically. I think he successfully defended it four times. He defended it five times, but he lost to Usman. But, I mean, I think he – I don't know. I don't know what I think it was with Woodley. He was up for it to defend the belt, but – his style just seemed to change a lot. His approach, you know, the way he when he got in there, the way he was, you know, pretty much all of them besides the Darren Till fight. I feel like the Darren Till fight, he was in there like a madman, and he just got Till out of there, you know, nice and easy. I mean, not necessarily easy, but, you know, he made quick work of Darren Till. But, like, besides that, the other fights, it just didn't seem like the same guy as the one that fought, you know, Josh Koscheck and, you know, all his older fights. So that I don't know. I don't know what happened, but.
All right, man. So let me ask you this. Let's switch gears a little bit. So, you know, we're 2019 is coming to an end, and we're going into 2020. Going into 2020, what's the one fight you want to see in 2020 and why?
Damn, well, we're already getting Whitaker Adesanya in like a couple weeks, so that's pretty crazy. That was a fight that I was really like anticipating, you know, once Adesanya really just came in, I just knew he was going to be really good. But okay, all right, we're already getting that one. I mean, I really want to see Khabib and Ferguson, man. I mean, people are saying it might happen in December, but I don't know. I mean, until I see them in the octagon, I really don't even trust it. But, I mean, that's definitely one fight I want to see. Let me try and think of a more creative one, because I feel like everybody calls for that fight. All right. Are you looking for, like, a title, like a champion, like a title defense?
No, it doesn't have to be a championship fight.
Man, you got to give me a minute to think about the division. Do you have a fight that you in mind that you want to see 2020?
I got two fights. I know that John probably is going to fight early 2020. I think he's going to end up maybe fighting the winner of the Corey Anderson, Johnny Walker fight. So I think that fight is going to happen. But I also think in 2020, John Jones will fight the winner of the trilogy fight between Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier. I think that will be a fight we see in 2020. And I also think that in 2020 we'll get Wally Zhang versus a returning Thug Rose Nami Hunis, man. I think Rose will come back next year fresh, and I think she'll come back to try to reclaim her belt against Wally Zhang, man. I'll definitely be all in on that fight. So those two fights, I think, that'll happen in 2020.
But why not have Thug Rose fight Andrade first to try and get that win back?
Because I don't think Andrade is going to be in the title. I don't think she's going to be in the title picture.
Okay.
I think Andrade is actually about to probably go on a 2 or 3 fight losing streak. And I think she'll probably be probably a person that's going to be a name in a division, but she won't be a contender in a division.
Okay, I got you. She's more like a gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Okay, kind of like Anthony Pettis.
Actually, Pettis kind of disappointed me, man, when he called out Diego Sanchez. I get why he called out Sanchez, because, you know, that's an action fight. But to me, if Pettis does what he's supposed to do, that fight shouldn't even be competitive. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
nah. So I think Diego Sanchez, I think he should have been retired. I think he's a little bit punch drunk. If Pettis does what he's supposed to do, it won't even be a good fight.
And don't get me going on Diego Sanchez. I don't know what he was talking about in the build-up to his last fight. He was saying some crazy stuff. I watched his interview. It was like it was like a half an hour, and he was like detailing the way he was training with it, because he said he left Jackson Wink because he didn't feel like it. He said something. He didn't feel the love or something like that, or it wasn't a family or something like that. And then he trained with this other guy who like apparently never trained an MMA fighter before. I don't know who the guy was, but he said he was like doing the guy had him training with blindfolds on, and he was like doing blindfold combat. And I think he said they were doing with like using chopsticks and stuff. Like he was saying some wild training detail in his last interview, and it showed when he went into his fight. I don't know what I could tell that they were training with blindfolds, because he just, I forget who he fought, but he just got dominated, and it was just like, Diego Sanchez, what are you doing, man? Like, this is why you don't train with blindfolds on. You weren't ready for this. Like, it just made me think, like, he just didn't have any game plan to fight Chiesa, and it was like, when you got taken down, like, Or even before that, like, did they train takedown defense so you didn't get taken down? Like, was that even a thing? Because if you have the blindfold on, how do you know when someone's going to take you down if you can't see them? So I don't know what they did with that training session, but Diego Sanchez really had me, like, thrown for a loop when he said that in his interview. And then I watched him get dominated versus Chiesa, and I wasn't surprised, because he's training with some guy who never trained an MMA fighter before. So I don't understand what they thought was going to happen with that. But anyways, Anthony Pettis disappointed me too, because here he was. He just knocked out Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. Like, that was huge, huge win. Like, he catapulted his name with that win. Like, I don't think Thompson had ever been knocked out in his career before that fight. I'm I'm pretty sure he'd never been knocked out. That was the first time, and Thompson's fought a lot of fights in his career, never been knocked out. So that was huge. Plus Thompson's that was at least at the time he was one of the top guys. I don't know how high he's ranked now, but I know he was ranked higher before. And then Pettis got another big fight with Nate Diaz. I mean, he lost, but really, Pettis, really? You're going to go from Stephen Thompson, one of the best welterweights in the world right now, to Nate Diaz, one of the biggest names in the sport right now, to Diego Sanchez? Like, really? Really?
It doesn't even sound right. It doesn't
man,
even sound right, man.
Like, I don't know who propped him up to make that call out, but that didn't make any sense. Like, Diego Sanchez is a fun fight. I do like watching all his fights, you know, but and I think it probably will be a fun fight. But why call him, though? Like, you're if we're talking stock, your stock was skyrocketed. Nate Diaz was, I mean, Pettis has been a champion. You know, he's been in championship fights, so he's had probably big, you know, it's not like that was, you know, his only big fight, but I mean, that's at this time, Nate Diaz is like one of the biggest fights anybody could have. I mean, he's one of the biggest names in the sport. You just knocked out Thompson, and then you fight Diaz in the biggest fight you've had in years, Pettis, and then you want to fight Diego Sanchez. Like, what made you think of this? You know who we should have called out? You know who we should have called out? I know who Pettis should have called out. There's only one guy he should have called out. You know who it is?
Who?
Dos Anjos.
Yeah, because Dos Anjos whooped his ass.
Yeah, but you got to call out Dos Anjos because he's still, like, Dos Anjos is, like, a top five in the welterweights right now. I'm pretty sure he's higher ranked than Thompson. And that fight will get Pettis back in the title picture. But not only that, just get that win back. And it's a savage fight. You know, it's a good fight for him, and it's a stock fight that will bring his stock back to where it was, where he, you know, when he just knocked out Wonderboy, he was in the mix. If you beat Dos Anjos, you get back in the title mix. I mean, I know he said he's just trying to – I don't think Pettis is even, like, trying to win a belt. He's just trying to do the fights he wants to fight, which I respect that. But I just thought that would be a good fight. Or call out one of these other top welterweights, you know what I mean? Like, my God, I mean, he couldn't get the McGregor fight, so there's really – no, go ahead.
But the thing with him is, O'Keefe, there's so many names he could have called out. He could have called out Aldo. Remember him and Aldo was supposed to fight when Aldo was
champion
and Pettis was the champion. He could have called out Aldo. Yo, let's do this at 155. You know, he could have called Aldo out. He could have called out the winner, Askren and Maya. He could have called out anybody, man. But he called out Diego Sanchez, bro. It's like, come on, Pettis. It's like, damn, dog. Man, I was so disappointed when I saw that. But, you know, man, that's neither here nor there. Get back to my question to you. What fight you want to see in 2020, bro?
Yo, that Pettis versus Aldo, you just reminded me about that. That did sound really good. Ah, damn. Man, I just wrote my article. I don't know if you read my article, but, yo, I really want to see McGregor versus Justin Gaethje. I'm dying to see that one. I think that's probably the top fight that I want to see right now.
I think that fight probably has probably a 60-40 chance of happening in 2020. I think Connor probably would go talk to his people and convince them that this is a fight we can win. And everybody would get on board, and they will make that fight happen. And I think Gaethje knocks him out in the second round.
And Gaethje's going to knock him out in the second round.
I think Gaethje will knock him out in the second round.
Well, that's fine.
And the only reason And the only reason I say that is because I really do believe that Connor would not take his training seriously. I don't think he would take his training seriously, Keys. I think the days of Connor being all in on UFC are over. I think Connor will come in looking to collect a big payday. And I think he will leave and make a lot of money in the UFC off that fight. But he'll lose via knockout to Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, if that would have happened and he not if he were to lose, if he were to lose and then like come out and say, because like he said for the Khabib fight that he trained to defend more than he trained to on offense. He trained to
to defend the takedowns.
To defend the takedown, but also like to defend himself from the bottom. And just want to put it out there, McGregor put up a much better fight than Dustin Poirier did. I just want to put that out there for all the naysayers. Y'all might not believe it, but eventually you have to face the truth. McGregor did a much better job than Dustin Poirier did, and y'all have the audacity to say that Poirier has become much better fighter than McGregor. Well, the problem is that Poirier got demolished, and I hate to break your hearts, but he got absolutely dominated, and he didn't have
both
any.
You
know, they both got dominated, but see, McGregor had round three where he pretty. I would debate that he won the round. Poirier didn't have any round where I would debate that he won the round. He just got dominated. So that's the big difference factor for those two fights for me. So the Poirier, I love Poirier too, but y'all need to chill with Poirier and saying all these things, because Poirier, you know what will happen. So we're just not going to do it. But if he were to get knocked out and to come out and say, you know, that somehow that he didn't put in the right preparation, then that would really – man, that would be a big difference maker for me. I don't know. That would really lessen my fanism for Conor McGregor. I would be very disgusted by that, and I don't know. My support level would go down a significant amount. I don't know. That would really, if he were to do another fight and then come out and say that he didn't prepare the right way, I just don't think I can accept it. That would just be terrible, because if you don't take it, if I get the sense that you don't take it seriously, it's just like it's just like a waste of my time. You know, it almost feels like a slap in the face. You know, as somebody who speaks so highly of somebody, and then they just turn around and don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Excuse my language. You know, you support somebody so much, and then they just go out and just don't care. It's almost like if you were to, you know, recommend somebody for a job. And then you work somewhere and you recommend your friend to your boss and say, oh yeah, he's a great worker. And then your friend comes in there and he just slacks off and just does not show at all that he's a good worker and just makes you look like shit for even recommending him. That's pretty much the same thing to me. Like the way that I, you know, have so much support for McGregor and I always want to see him fight and I defend him constantly, for him to go in there and not try, you know, to win and to not train is just like, to me, is a slap in the face. Not like I know him. I don't, but I feel like it's a slap in the face, because to my support, to even want to see him do well for someone who doesn't want to see themselves do well is just disgusting. You know, at that point, my support would be at an all-time low. So if he were to lose is one thing, but to lose off not trying, it's like when you're playing baseball and they say, you know, it's better to, you know, you struck out swinging pretty much, you know, like you.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
At least
you went
down
swinging,
yeah.
Yeah, like you struck out looking, you know what I mean? Like, or you struck out swinging. Like, if you struck out looking and you saw – Yeah. If you struck out looking and you saw the pitch, you knew that that was the one, but you didn't, and it was right down the middle. You know, that was your opportunity, but you didn't swing. You know, that is almost worse than striking out swinging because you tried and you knew it, that was the right pitch, but you swung and missed. You know what I mean? But you still attempted it. But if you were to strike out looking, then that's no good because you watched the pitch go by you and you didn't react. So it was in the moment and you didn't capitalize when you should have. So you didn't even try. You just sat there and let yourself fail. It's still a strike. If the ball comes right down the middle, it's still a strike because the ump knows and everybody knows that was in play. That was in the bat, you know, that was in your range to hit it, but you didn't. But if you strike out swinging, you made the attempt. So that, to me, if McGregor would have not trained, that would be like him strike out looking. You saw the moment, and you didn't try to capture it. So that, to me, is just that's just whack to me. That's just completely whack. So if
but
it weren't for that,
you know what? I think Gaethje would talk enough shit to Conor to actually motivate him. I think Gaethje will talk enough trash to motivate Conor because I was just thinking about it while you was talking. I think Gaethje will actually bring out the best in Conor because Gaethje will talk trash to him. Gaethje will not back down, and this is a fight Gaethje has, I guess he's been politicking for what, about 6 to 8 months? So, I'm kind of with you, man. I think this fight, I'm kind of 70-30 now. I was just 60-40. I'm kind of 70-30 that the fight happens in 2020, dog. I think it happens.
Yo.
I think we'll get a motivated Conor because Gaethje will talk so much trash. And Conor not used to guys, you know, attempting mental warfare with him. And I think Gaethje will attempt mental warfare with Conor, man.
Well, that was actually, you know, I don't want to get off topic, but that was the intrigue that I had about Conor fighting Tony Ferguson. Not saying that, you know, the fight would be epic, but not even just the fight, but the press conferences would just be unbelievable because finally, you have a guy who does what Conor does all the time. Like, Tony Ferguson is about that. Like, you say anything to Tony Ferguson, he has something to say back. Like, he doesn't waste a breath. You know what I mean? He doesn't waste any moments. Like, he wastes no time in the octagon and no time on the mic. Like, Tony Ferguson comes back with something for everything. Like, you know, just like, you know, Kevin Lee. You know, Kevin Lee was talking a whole lot of stuff. Like, Tony Ferguson didn't let him, you know what I mean, get a word off. Like, he's not that kind of guy. Like, Ferguson strikes back at every corner. So, but that, you know, I would love to see that. I hope you're right, because that is a fight that I'm just dying to see. So, I couldn't think of any other one that I wanted to see more than that at this time. And if you read my article, you know, you would see I have the top five fights I think are likely for Conor McGregor's return. So if you could go check that out on the Scrap News, go check that out on the Scrap News. Excuse my voice crack. Go check that out on the Scrap News. And
actually,
yeah.
Speaking of the Scrap, I got an article that's coming out. Actually, my article I wrote on AEW versus NXT, they got a lot of traction last night. Actually, AEW retweeted it last night, which was cool. But I wrote an article this week on the top five heavyweight GOATs. And actually, it's probably one of my better pieces, one of my better write-ups. And it'll be out hopefully this weekend, but maybe early next week. So, yeah, check that out. Me and my man Keys, man, you know, we be doing our thing for the Scrap, man. You know, like I said, it gives us a platform to actually be Keys actually is a journalist. He went to school for journalism. Whereas me, it gives me a platform to, you know, kind of be a fan a little bit and, you know, kind of be a journalist in training, I would say. But, you know, me and Keys both have teams this year in the ultimate writing competition. I really don't know how it's going on your side, bro, but I reached out to my team. I was like, they wanted any suggestions or ideas to hit me up, you know, before they send their articles to press. I really haven't heard from anybody. And you might have saw that I created a hashtag for my team. I don't know whether or not you created a hashtag for your team yet, but it's fun, man. It's fun. Me and Keys are actually coming up on a year of being in collaboration with the Scrap, and I'm actually going to write a piece on that about me and Keys actually being members of the Scrap year one. So I'm looking. Joel don't know I'm gonna do that. He doesn't know that I'm gonna write about that yet. Only you know, and my audience knows now. But I am gonna do an article on that, and it's gonna be straight from the heart about the experiences that me and you both have had being members of the Scrap. You know what it's probably meant to both of us. It's gonna probably be more from my standpoint. But being that you brought the idea to my attention and you was like, Lee, I think we need to jump on board with it, you know, I'm gonna actually put pen to paper on that.
That's actually a really good idea for article. You're pretty good with the dates, man. You usually remember the one year anniversary coming up on the show, coming up on 1 year for the Scrap. You're pretty good with dates, bro. You must got a calendar over there, and you're penciling all this in your calendar.
Actually, I went back, and I was going through the DMs that we had with Joel about us joining the Scrap. And those are still in my Twitter. And actually, I went back, and I was reading them, and I was laughing because when Joel was talking about, hey, man, you guys, you know, I can help you guys have a platform, blah, 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 blah. And I remember what I was thinking when he was telling us this. My whole thing was, what is he going to get out of this? And that's all I was thinking. I was like, what is he going to get out of this? I never thought about what me and you was going to get out of, because just our following on Twitter we had a strong following on Twitter at the time. And, you know, our show was kind of like in the infant stages, but a lot of people followed us on Twitter and would chime in on our conversations on Twitter. And I was just wondering, like, you know, what was his angle? And turned out to be, you know, it was a great match for me and you. It ended up expanding things that we could do outside of our show. Ended up us being able to reach out to more people on social media. It's been a good experience.
Yeah, it definitely has. I'm glad that we got to link up with these guys. You know, it's a great team of people at the Scrap.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't see what hashtag that you made for your team. I hadn't noticed it, but I mean, I've been hashtagging the competition, and I just been doing hashtag Team Mahoney or Team Keys. I've been putting that on most of the tweets that I do that are related to the competition. And then I just been doing hashtag The Ultimate Writer Season 2. So I've just been doing pretty much like those three hashtags for the competition.
Yeah, I did hashtag Team Lee TUW.
Yeah, no, I think we've both been promoting it a good amount. That's why I was actually, I told you know, my team, like, if anybody, you know, I told them a couple hours ago, like, that we were going to go on tonight. If anybody wanted to call in, they're all welcome to call in and talk about whatever, or talk about the competition or their articles or whatever, promote their articles, et cetera. And same thing for in your team, too. I told that all of them, everybody was welcome to come on. So, yeah, no, I think we'll try to keep on doing that because we want to promote the competition. And there's a lot of talented writers who make good content that are on both of our teams. So it'd be nice to have, you know, some of those people come up here and talk about the competition. We could promote that and promote the scrap, you know, at the same time.
And promote them.
There's a lot of good content that comes out of it.
Yeah, man. You know, one thing about me and Keys, and this is true. If you know what you are talking about, you always welcome on our show. You can't come on our show and not know what you're talking about. Because one thing about me and Keys is when we come on this show, we have strong opinions. We don't always agree. But our love for the sport gives us a much respect for the sport that when we do our show, we at least know what we're talking about. We ain't coming up here throwing your head up with off-the-cuff hot takes. No, we don't do that. We come up here with knowledge of the game, knowledge of the sport, knowledge of the fighters. And that's what we do, and we pride ourselves on that. So anybody that wants to come on our show and you want to talk UFC, even if you want to talk wrestling, you know, I can talk boxing. I can talk basically, you know, a whole lot of sports. But one thing we ask that you know what you talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nah, just don't be coming up here with all that randomness. And I mean, I get a little crazy with you know, people I'm a big fan of from time to time, but I tend to have good backing for the things that I say. So I understand as a fan, not everything is always logic based. And a lot of times it's just because I like it. You know what I mean? Like, because you like it is a good enough reason to talk about it. Like, you don't have to, you know what I mean, have some great reason to bring something up. But like, if you're going to make claims about a person or about something, or, you know, have a strong opinion, you know, we expect that you'll be able to explain why, you know, why you feel that way, at least, you know what I'm saying? And not, and be like in a coherent way, in an understandable way, in a respectful way. So, and that's pretty much how we operate up here. We have calm debates.
Yeah. And actually that's the format of why our show, why we created this show. Me and Keys used to talk back and forth on Twitter. You know, I ain't always agree with him. He ain't always agree with me. He was a big DC fan. I was a big John Jones fan. He was a big Conor fan. I'm a big Conor detractor. And, you know, one day I reached out to him. I was like, hey, bro, you ever thought about doing a podcast? And he was like, yeah, I thought about it. And I was like, well, let's do it. And probably about a month later, me and Keys Real Talk was formed. And that just came from two guys that had opinions on Twitter, that have never met in real life, that just wanted to put on a show for fans of MMA and have fun. And that's where we've been at. Episode 112. Look how far we done came. 112 episodes from two guys I've never met. Two guys, I'm 48, Keys is barely 25, and we doing this. We doing it.
Hell yeah, bro. 112 episodes later, just putting it down, bro. We always been doing the same shit, and I've been trying to change, like, some of the creative aspect of it, and putting down, you know, some different things. Like, if you were to read, you know, I've been changing up a little bit with what we've been doing with our descriptions. And, you know, like what I put down. I said, you know, we're always doing real talk, sports talk, fight talk, and no relationship advice.
No relationship advice. We don't do that.
So that's like a new motto to our show right there. You come to Lean Kizro Talk, you expect. You come to Lean Kizro Talk, we're going to do a little bit of real talk, a little bit of fight talk, a little bit of sports talk, and no relationship advice.
Nope. From day one.
From day one, we just finally got around to being able to put that into, like, you know, 20 characters for a nice, fitting motto.
Yeah, man. But, you know, man, it's fun, man. It's fun. This show has been, it's always been an outlet for me because, you know, after working all day, you know, sometimes I have to deal with my grandkids, you know. Then to jump on this show and just be able to talk sports, boxing, wrestling, UFC, even in the old days of Lee and Keys, we would talk some political stuff. We talked school shootings. I mean, our show has come a long way. And if you've been a fan from day one, you know what I mean.
Hell yeah. So, you know, we definitely went on some various topics, but, you know, we've tried to change around and give the people a little bit of different content now and then, you know, especially when there's, you know, big topics in it, you know, things people are really talking about a lot or something that we just felt was really interesting that we might think that you guys might also think is very interesting. So just trying to do some different things. But, you know, we went a little bit over time on this because, you know, we had to get to so many different points tonight that it was just, and we didn't even get to really everything. We really didn't even cover that much. We kind of just, that might be partly my fault, but it's all good though. I enjoy rocking out with y'all and, you know, episode 112, like I always say, keep it positive and, you know, your thoughts make up the way you're going to feel. To try to think good thoughts. You know, I actually tell myself that every day. I'm not a master of it. I'm a student of it. And I try to, you know, I always have to reiterate that in my own mind. You know, so I just try to tell other people to let them know, you know, what might be able to help them. So, yeah, just stay positive, love each other, and pay it forward. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got, Lee. The floor is yours, brother.
You know, great show tonight. I know we got a little bit off track. Me and my man Keys, we might have to go back to doing a rundown. I don't know. I think on this off the top, we seem to go off trail a little bit. So me and him might have to start. We might have to start doing a rundown again. But me and him will talk about that. But you know, love doing the show. Love my co-host Keys. Like I always say. Live, love, laugh. Live your life. Tell somebody you love them every day. And always have a good laugh every day. Lee and Keys signing out, episode 112. Peace!